welcome to Life with the Girlfriends, or More Life with the Girlfriends, with Christine Marie and Julie.
And I'm Christine Marie.
And I'm Julie.
And you know what? We're mother and daughter.
Yes, we are.
But so much more.
Yes, we're your in-house certified love attraction coaches. You're a psychotherapist. I'm a former teacher. But really, on these Sunday nights, we really are about kind of concluding our weekend, getting ready to start the week, and we want everybody to feel like home.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a place you can listen and just relax.
It really is. You know, we...
And feel the love, not the hate.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we picture us, you know, a big fireplace, kind of lodge-like, and chairs around the fireplace. We've got a little cocktail or tea or whatever you want.
And, yes. I have water. I know that you have a cocktail. You have water and a cocktail.
I want everything, girlfriend.
You might even have tea there, too. I think you got all three.
I do have tea right now.
And I understand that, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. I know sometimes I have hot tea for the voice, mm-hmm. and I don't have that today. It's funny. It's been... I love my Sundays. They're full of calm and sweetness and a lot of activity sometimes. But today... when things kind of go awry, mm-hmm. things go awry.
Mm-hmm.
And as,
by the way, that's the name on my cell phone. When you want to reach me, it's AWRY.
Right. That's the name you give yourself, right?
Right.
That's what
they
exactly. And here I am, and I for the first time all afternoon, I've felt peace. And thank you, Mom. Thank you, Aya, for being here because
yes.
I feel at peace. It has been just a crazy afternoon.
It has, and of course the Bears lost.
Yes. Great first half, and then went bad after that. And if you don't like football, then it doesn't matter.
That's right.
And it does, you know. And if you do like football, you know, the Bears and the Green Bay Packers, we have this rivalry, and so many families in this area because we're close to the border of Wisconsin.
Yes,
I mean mildly close. You know,
Illinois is a lot. Like today, we went out and we went pumpkin shopping, and mm-hmm. there's this big farm, and we got some.
That's right.
Broom corn?
Broom corn, yes.
Yes. Corn stalks and then some pumpkins. And they had a big sign in the garage that said, Packer parking only. Anybody else will be shot and survivors will be shot again.
No, it didn't say that. Mama, you don't know the football term. They said, violators will be sacked.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I couldn't see that far away.
Violators will be sacked, so get your car out of this parking spot. And I was at a grocery store later on, and this is after the game, and a Packers jersey met up with a Bears jersey.
Uh-oh.
And they had known each other, but they were, you know, friendly enough. And I said, uh-oh, will there be problems here, people? They go, mm-hmm. oh, no, we're fine. And my guy, he was like, Julie, I think I've got to stop watching. I think I've got to stop watching the game. Because he was upset. And he gets this way, and I'm not. I'm enjoying it because it's kind of fun, and I really wouldn't watch it if he wasn't there, unfortunately. I hate to say that. And I go, hey, I'll make plans for the whole day next week, and it won't be about football. Are you sure you're up for it?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I gotta be. This just makes me too. I'm too involved. I'm too upset that I've taken the fun out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, you kind of have.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
The guys, some of these people, some of the guys in our lives are girls, too.
So serious.
So serious, and everything's on the line. And it was kind of interesting because if you're in fantasy football, sometimes this happens. So I'm playing this gentleman named Caleb, and his quarterback is Rodgers, who is on the Green Bay Packers team. And my quarterback was Cutler, who was the Bears. And up to the first half, I thought I had a chance to really move forward in points. And then it just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
oh, well. It makes fall kind of fun. You know, if you can take away from the whatever else it
mm-hmm.
is.
It makes fall kind of fun, but today it was like 86, so I don't really know if that's
you
consider
really
that fall. It was pretty.
But the trees are the trees are booming with color, and
yes.
they're starting to
and the leaves, and it sounds like when we're in front of our driveway, because our pin oak is so big right now, that it just keeps dropping these acorns, and they sound like little explosions on top of our van.
Yes, it does.
Van,
yes,
when
it does.
They fall.
I mean, it's pretty exciting, actually. Pretty scary, too. Well, today's program, we're going to have a huge program today.
Pretty jam-packed.
Pretty jam-packed. We're interviewing not just one guest, mm-hmm. not just two guests, but three guests.
Wow.
And there will be a halftime break. And our first guest we're going to have in the first half hour mm-hmm. is Andy Spaulding.
Mm-hmm.
And she is part of, we've been talking for the last several weeks, to writers of the Unwavering Strength
and
Momentum
Movement. And it finally comes out this week.
Yay!
Can you imagine? Awesome. There's going to be a big day.
Huge day.
Huge day. September 30th, you can get your copy. I think you can actually pre-order it even now as we speak.
I think you can at unwaveringstrength.com. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about it is when you purchase it, that day, I think you can get a lot of gifts.
Oh, my gosh.
That the authors are giving away, a lot of downloads.
Yeah.
Some really cool stuff.
And, you know, we've participated in things like this, and it's so much fun.
It is.
When, you know, you buy a book, and then, I mean, you get, who knows, 20, 30, 40 different gifts because you bought the program. It's so much fun.
It is, because it is like one of those... you know, you spend the money on the book, and really the gifts are about, I don't know, $400, $500, $600.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Even maybe $1,000. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, I got to buy the book.
Yeah, you have to.
I know. I've heard the interviews. I love these people. They're telling great things. I need to hear it.
But, you know, think about that. We've had so much, you know, wonder and joy and wisdom these last several weeks since we started interviewing these authors that were part of this pretty awesome anthology called Unwavering Strength. And the second one's even coming out probably within 5 or 6 months, and yours truly is going to be a part of that. You'll
yes,
have to interview
will.
Me, Julie.
I will definitely do that. And since I know the story intimately, I will be able to get all the probing questions. I'll know all those questions. So I
would it is nice, though, you know, overall. You know, as coaches, as therapists, we do hear a lot of sad stories. But to choose to focus on the unwavering strength,
yes.
what gets you through, you know, the grit, you know, that's what it's all about. Come on.
Yes. So, Annie, I'm going to introduce our first author.
Okay.
She's here.
Oh,
Annie
great.
Spaulding, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi,
awesome.
Annie.
Well, I just want to introduce everybody to Annie Spaulding. She is an author, a speaker, coach. What I love about her is that she's really endured through multiple losses, but what she does is she's created an inspirational life for herself, but then helps other people go through this.
You bet.
And Annie, I just want to say that so many people go through this and then like, oh, great, I'm gone through this. I'll do something else for my job or my career or my passion, my presence, you know. But you're like, you know what? I've been through the fire, and I can help other people go through the fire as well. So I want to welcome you to Life of the Girlfriends, Annie. And first off, tell us a little bit about your story and why you've chosen it for the Unwavering Strength anthology, the book.
Yes. Well, I'm hearing an echo.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay because we're going to say to our engineer right now that Annie is hearing an echo, and typically he's very good at fixing that. So... keep on talking, Annie.
I believe it.
How does that sound? Does it sound a little better for you?
Yes, that sounds so much better.
Great.
Oh, I hear just a tad.
Well, and actually, we would like to have Annie louder as well because we can't hear Annie
hardly at
all.
Yes, I can't hear her.
So as we work on everyone, just hold on for a second, everyone, as we work on our sound and get this great because we want this to be good for our audience. And this is live. This is what happens sometimes.
Yes. So, thank you so much for the introduction. And being a part of this book and choosing my story was very easy because that's what I actually call the day that I lost my brother. I think of that as almost my birthday. It's kind of the day that I actually awakened to what life is really all about. And, yes, I had multiple losses all at the same time, so... I can say this now, but going through it at that time, it was so messy and very vulnerable and uncomfortable, and there's still moments of hurt in my heart. But, that's where that story, it was very easy for me to write about that because that going through, like you said, going through the fire was what you have to do and what I had to do. It's when you get through to the other side, you go, wow.
Yes.
I can't believe I got through all that. And how much different I view everything. And
yes.
It's just a whole different world.
And reading your story, and I realized when you, that how much wisdom you gather during this time. The loss of your brother, and
yep.
You knew it was coming, so it wasn't just a surprise. And he was a young man with cancer. And then at the same time, you're dealing with a different loss of your marriage. And,
yep.
I mean, so you didn't have that support.
No.
No, I didn't. No, I now know what the word loneliness feels like. Now I can put those two together. It's extreme. It was clearly the most powerful time for me. In fact, the moment that one thing I didn't put in the story, but just to give people an idea of kind of where, what it felt like, the moment when my brother passed away, his wishes came true, and he was able to pass away at his home, and I got to be with him, and it was the most difficult yet most, I was so honored to be a part of that. Well, that moment after, I'll never forget the moment that, so everybody leaves his home, and all of my family members get into their cars, and they just go home. Well, I sat in my car and I went, I don't have a home. I didn't even know where to go. Mm-hmm. So I was driving to the Target parking lot because that's where I was going to sleep. And because I had no home, my home was gone. The feeling of being married was gone and having a family member gone. It just, everything, the job that I had to move states, so that job was gone. Everything felt like it was just gone. It felt like all my identity of who I was and what I was doing, that was just gone. Wait, okay, so who am I? Who am I? So that's where that all, yeah. I went through the fire, yes.
Yeah, you went through the fire. And it's interesting because in that story you talk about, you know, being in a parking lot going, what space can I pick that I can stay in tonight? And that we, you know, here you are, you're there for your brother in his last moments and taking care of him. And at that moment, you could have used a little help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and yet when I read it, I go, you know what, though? One thing she learned is that, holy cow, at that moment when there's probably nothing else could go or be taken away, you made it through on your own.
Yes. Yeah.
And, I mean, can you? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but when, you know, a year later, did you feel kind of like, holy cow, I did it?
Well, probably not even quite a year later. It took me quite some time, but, yeah, no, I did eventually. Yes, I did. Even now, I still say that. I still look back and go, whoa, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm so proud of myself. So, yeah, no, it's so, if anyone is feeling like you can't get through anything, you can. You can. There's such a greater depth. That's why I say it was almost my birthday, because it was the time that you really recognize a different depth of who you are. And connectedness to, for me, it was just being connected to me and to the greater part of what we're all here for. So,
what I really appreciated when I was reading your story, Annie, was through it all, you and your brother had this lovely sense of humor between you two. This ability to just see the either the irony or the joy or whatever. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yes. Sometimes I say it in present tense because I feel like he's still with me all the time, but he's so funny. One of the careers that I have done is also dental. And so he would tell me that, he would tell me, Annie, you know, you just, will you run to the grocery store to go grab me some chew? And I said, oh my gosh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. You know how bad that is for you. And he would just look at me with his eyebrows raised, like, are you serious? Come on. Come on. And I had no other, I mean, we just crack up. We just laugh. What else possibly could we talk about or not talk about? I mean, he just made the raw funny.
Mm-hmm. Ah, I love that line. He made the raw funny. There's a sweetness to that. And that's what comes across in the story. I have a brother, and you know, if you have a sibling, a brother in particular, you get that, you know, that feeling of just being goofy sometimes, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you knew each other when you were young, when you
yes.
were playing, and when you didn't have the worries of the world, and you didn't, you know, and all this adult stuff coming your way, and so at those moments you get to be playful with each other because you remember those feelings and those memories. And I think at the end, when you're with your brother, it really comes out that you were the one that was able to bring that back to him, that playfulness, that childlike joy in the midst of this grief and crisis and so forth.
That's a very good insight, because it was the one thing that we really, it was one, yeah, definitely. You have different bonds with siblings than you do
yeah.
with other people. So that bond with him, we always had that silly fun time, and we could laugh about the funniest little things. And yes, even at the very end, and he wanted something written on his, what he quote unquote wanted written on his headstone was, he said he wanted it to read 33 and no cavities. But it was just a complete joke that our whole family had forever. And I just would, you know, put my hand on my forehead and just be going, oh, no, this can't be what you're talking about. But, you know, but he, you know, that was just what, it's just the way that we really connected with laughter. And how good does it feel to laugh? It feels so good. It can just change the emotion in a second. And even at the very end, that's just what he wanted me to know, and to keep a smile on my face, because it's very easy to not.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and it also in your story, what I thought was, you know, there's a lot of people have situations that come up that happens in an instant, and your life is changed in an instant. And when you're
mm-hmm.
dealing with someone who's dying of cancer, there is that time, and you don't know when the actual moment's going to happen, but and you know that's heading that way.
Mm-hmm.
What that was so wonderful about your story is that it really felt that your brother was open to dying very, for lack of a better word, consciously. You know,
mm-hmm.
he made his wishes known, how he wanted things to be, and
yes.
it seemed like you were open to hearing it, and your discussion with your parents, how did that, during that time, did you have to just put your fears away, or how did you deal with that?
Yeah, I did. It took a while, and I just realized, you know, we each have, as much as we all are helping each other out through this wobbly world, we each have our own individual journey. And he was a very powerful person in the sense that he always wanted to give and give and give. And I know that, yeah, going through 4 years of chemo, and he had, what, 85 chemo treatments, that I just could observe. It was very easy for me to observe him and see how people talked to him differently. Oh, you know, oh, how are you doing? And then I know we'd come back to the comfort of his home, and he would just be pooped. And I thought, you know, he wants to give, too. So what can he do? He can call the shots for his life. And he wanted to make sure that he stayed home. He wanted to be surrounded by his friends and family. And the day before he passed away, his house was packed, full of people, just full of love, and people were laughing and telling stories, and it was very, clearly it would be very difficult, and it was very difficult, but at the same time, that's what he wanted, so it was easy for me to honor his wishes.
You bet. You bet. I know you mentioned, when you begin your story, you mentioned that it in a lot of ways it was the unwavering strength of your brother, John, that you were talking about, and his unwavering strength, like you said, going through the 85 mm-hmm. rounds of chemo mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, on the backdrop, it's also your story of unwavering mm-hmm. strength. And tell us a little bit about how it impacted you, Annie.
Yeah, well, yes, absolutely. He's been my greatest teacher, living and having passed. But for me, finding that unwavering strength it took me a while. I was a little bit shaky for a while, and it was just kind of like if it was my first birthday, the day that he passed, then, okay, I'm just trying to maneuver in this world. How do I do that? But I think for me, knowing that he could do that, he could endure that much, what an amazing teacher. Okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
And he's not gone. He's just not physically present. And I know that My belief is that I'm a spiritual being and it lives in this physical body, and for me to find that strength just comes from that spirit. And I tapped into, once I hit my lowest of low, I realized, wow, my high can get even higher.
Yeah.
It has an equal opposite to it. So just having the strength to endure one day at a time, next day, and how can I share my lessons with other people has been the...
Yeah, and on your website, Annie, you have a quote. You have, the greatest gift we can give to those we've lost is to live our best life.
Yes.
And I what I love about your business, your purpose at the Grief Relief Institute, it's a coaching program, and it's at anniespalding.com, A-N-N-I-E, Spalding, S-P-A-L-D-I-N-G, just in case anybody needs help spelling it. But what I hear is through the whole, your whole message is that, you know, the grief is low, but you can't have a bigger, better life, and there's nothing, I don't want to say bigger or better. That's not the right word I'm looking
mm-hmm.
for.
Mm-hmm.
But it is.
It almost has more depth.
Depth,
to it.
That's exactly right. You're
mm-hmm.
forever different,
yeah.
but you can
right.
go on and still experience
mm-hmm.
joy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly right. There is, in whatever form that is for anyone,
right.
for me, it's sharing what I have learned and how I've gone through it with other people. The more I give in anything, the more love I give, the more money that I give, the more time I give, the more affection I give, the more loyalty I give, the more I get back. And just it's a cycle that I'm just in, and it just feels amazing. And I didn't know this before. Before all this happened, I went to school and I got my job and I met somebody that I really cared about, and we did fun things together. And that was the depth of what I knew at that time, mm-hmm. and got married. And then all of this happened for me, and I went, wow, oh my goodness, there is so much more to life. there is so much more. And it's not external, it's internal. And that depth is, it just keeps reaching down, like roots growing down underneath the ground, but within.
Oh. Yes. Mm. I totally hear that and feel that from you. Our love for life, our love for ourselves, our love for our family and friends can grow deeper. And it does sometimes happen after these amazing amount of grief that we have to go through, the fire that we have to go through. And on the other end, I know that these episodes are always heartbreaking. And I know, like, when you break something, you know, in our bodies, you know, blood comes rushing through, and to heal it. And then it does go, it grows, and it, like with a muscle that's torn, you know, the blood rushes to it, and it heals it, and it's bigger and it's stronger, capable to do more things. And I do feel that with interviewing you and all these other fascinating authors is that your capacity to love and to feel is so much greater. You know, I don't even know what to say about
exactly
that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's like you go, yeah, it's so true, Julie.
That's exactly
so. What are you doing now, Annie?
Let's see. I practice in dental, and I also have my coaching business, and I have also started up a recycling program for dental offices.
Yeah, and I thought that was so awesome. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I was just, one of my passions is the ocean. It's mystical and amazing and powerful to me, and just life. So I wanted to learn more about it. And I decided to become a volunteer at the aquarium in my hometown. And I did that and was learning all of this amazing information about the ocean. We learn about sea life. We learn about just tons of different stuff. Well, one thing that came across to me was this gyre of trash out in the Pacific Ocean, which is just a mass of predominantly plastic bits.
Mm-hmm.
So plastic gets into the ocean, it breaks down from the sun, and there's huge natural currents of how the ocean flows, and they all end up in one spot in the ocean.
Right.
So I was so curious about that, and I thought, well, I wonder if there's anything, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference? And I looked around at the office that I'm at, and I said, wow, we use so much plastic, and this stuff can be recycled. So I started up a program in my office and started talking to study groups of other dentists, and have just kind of, it's just continued from there. The aquarium asked me to do a talk, so I did one with them along with Ted Danson, who is really big into ocean conservation.
Oh.
He started up a big program, so he and I did a talk more about this, and so that's just been a cool thing that every day something new pops up about it, so
mm-hmm.
It's a continued effort.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for the idea of doing that and seeing in your world, you know, with working in, you know, the dental industry, that you could make a difference and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that that program continues to grow and as you steward it.
Before we let you go and before we take our break, is there anything that you'd like to say to our audience before we let you go?
The more you give, the more you get. And really, it's all about just love. The more love you give out, the more love you get back. And that's going to motivate you to do anything.
And listening and just reading your story, listening to you talk, I just want to say to everybody out there, you can be living, you know, but in your car going, where am I going to spend the night at? And knowing that there is still, the best is still to come. It
you
will
bet.
Get better. You do have the strength to get it to get better. And visit Annie Spaulding at anniespaulding.com. She's got a video there. She's got some free stuff there to help you move on from your grief. She's been through it. And mm-hmm. and I just want to say that the what I get from your life right now
yes.
is the inspiration to have more in my life. So mm-hmm. thank you so much for being part of Life the Girlfriend.
I do too, Annie. I love the fact that you radiate joy and love and just, you know, a way of coming through the fire that is better and not bitter. So I want to thank you as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you both very much. This is a wonderful, it's been wonderful speaking with you, and I love sharing this story because anything is possible.
Yes.
Yes, you bet.
All right. Thank you so much, Annie. Have a great night.
Thank you so much, hon.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. It is our half hour break.
Awesome.
And we're going to take a little break while we get our next two guests ready to go.
All righty.
I was a gay, gay girl.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back from our break with Life with the Girlfriends. And tonight we definitely have more Life with the Girlfriends.
That's right, more and life. And we have more guests.
This is the first time, I think, in girlfriend history.
I think so.
That we're having, well, that's not true. I was going to say we have done this with Gay Hendrix and his wife.
Oh, of course. That's
we
right.
And so we are interviewing.
Gay and Kit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also Stuart Swordlow and his wife.
That's right.
And today we're going to be interviewing Sandy Alemian. Did I get that right, Sandy?
You did. Good job.
Yes. Yay. And Brian Bogardis. And they have, we're still interviewing authors on the Unwavering Strength Movement and the book that's coming out, yay, September 30th. We can't wait to get our official book. And we're so excited. And I want everybody out there to go get their book, and there will be lots of wonderful gifts to go along
you
with
bet.
That.
Yeah.
But they have a wonderful story. They both wrote a story in the book, and they have a wonderful story together that I can't wait to hear more about. Sandy, could you tell us a little more about your story and why you decided to share it with everybody and put it in the Unwavering Strength book?
Absolutely, yep. So it was 20 years ago that my second daughter, Talia, was born with a one in a million metabolic disorder. And it was a perfectly normal pregnancy, normal delivery and everything. And the doctors at the Fifth Israel Hospital in Boston just noticed that she was having some odd twitching movements in her head. And that's when they started running all kinds of testing and all that. And they found that she had this metabolic disorder. And after 2.5 weeks of testing, they called us into a private family meeting, and they said to us, if she survives this newborn period, she will never be able to walk, talk, eat, breathe, communicate, nothing.
Mm.
And that was a big if she survives that newborn period. And, you know, when you're delivered news like that, it really has an ability to just sort of break you completely apart. And that's what it did for me. And let me fill this part in. 5 years prior to this, I was writing to my angels. I knew that I always believed that we all had an angelic team. Mm-hmm. And I was getting a lot of really cool wisdom from the angelic team, and I wasn't prepared for this. I wasn't told that this was going to happen in my life. So I was always a positive person, and I believed that if I just prayed hard enough for her, and if I had enough people praying for her, and if I just sent my daughter Talia enough healing energy, I knew I could make her better, and that we would, you know, she would be our miracle baby. And I was wrong. And Talia ended up dying at 31 days old. And in hindsight, what I am firmly convinced of is that everything happens for a reason. And having the experience of her short little life and death, as much as it completely broke me down and broke me wide open, I found something inside of myself that could never, ever be broken, and that was a connection to spirit and a connection to my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if anyone had told me ahead of time, okay, Sandy, this is what you're going to be experiencing in life. You're going to have a daughter, Ariana, you'll have two miscarriages, and then your daughter, Talia, will die at a month old, and then a year later, you'll have a son, Austin. I would have said, well, I'm not strong enough for that middle stuff. I never looked at myself as someone who could endure something like that. But, you know, when you have to go through something that completely challenges you to your core, I believe there's an opportunity for all of us to really dig down deep inside of ourselves and find that unwavering strength. And for me, it was a connection to my angels, it was a connection to God, a connection to spirit, and a connection to my soul.
You know, you're talking about this, and I, my heart goes out for you because out to you because you're like a lot of brilliant light healers, the healing people of the world that do their job, and I can understand why you would think, wait a minute, if I just thought I'd pray hard enough, believe strong enough, have so much positive energy, I can heal this little baby, this little angel of mine. And
I
can totally hear and believe that in your heart, because as healers, as teachers, as coaches, you believe that your beliefs are strong enough. You can create anything. You can manifest anything. And here you are in this struggle of your life, and to look back and going, wait a minute. Like you said, at that moment, you realize now that you never lost connection to your spirit and soul. And that,
yes.
And here, and in my mind, she was part of your angelic team from day one. And I'm sure that you feel that way now about her.
You're absolutely right. And one thing that I realize now is I had to go through that. And what I did from the experience, I ended up writing a book about the experience. It was my first book that I wrote. But then I was really curious about this whole concept of death and the other side. And so I trained to become a medium. So I've been doing mediumship work for 20 years now, and I'm firmly convinced that I had to go through that. I had to go through my own darkness so that I could then show up in the world and with a compassionate heart reach out to people and say, I understand. I may not know what you've been through, but I understand this pain. I've been there. I'm on the other side of it. Let me help you through it, and then help them to also not only just connect them with their own loved ones and spirits, but help them make the connection themselves to spirit.
Absolutely.
What I found, Sandy,
what was so brilliant about your story, and I hope everyone, when September 30th comes and the book comes out formally, gets it, because there's lots of, the book is great and also a lot of the good gifts that come with it. But at the end, you use your ability And you channel really what Talia was feeling and going through, and I just thought that was I don't know, it was so healing, and I imagine you offer that to other people as well.
I do, and it was that message that I got from her. That was 2.5 weeks after she died, and it was my worst day ever. It was, and I understand when people go through an extreme loss or a really, really painful death experience, I understand when they say, I don't want to be here anymore. It's too hard. That's exactly how I felt that day. And that was the day that I had nothing else to turn to. I had nowhere else but my pain to sit with, and in an effort to, I don't know, transcend the pain, I sat down with a blank pad of paper and a pen. And the first words that I heard were, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And I didn't want to write it because I thought I was going crazy.
Right.
And it persisted, and that's when a message came through from her soul. And people have said to me, okay, she was a month old. How, what do you mean you can get a message from her in your writing? You know, she can't talk. Her soul, our souls are ageless. And so it was a message from her soul that I received, and I wrote down everything that I heard. And that's how I connect with spirit now. I hear and I feel more than anything.
That's amazing.
So,
I also understand that everybody's journey You know, Talia's journey was only 31 days, and I truly believe that was her complete journey, that not everybody is here for a long period of time. But
right.
As human beings, you know, we you know, make this assumption that you're born and then you're supposed to have a really long lifetime, like 85, 90, 95 years. And that's not always the case. You know, someone's soul journey could be very, very short, and they come in for a particular reason to help shift and move us and point us in a different direction in life, perhaps. And then I believe it's our responsibility to say, okay, I can become victimized by this, or I can somehow use this experience to show up differently in the world or to help other people through what I've gone through. And that's what I chose to do.
Beautiful. So, and again, it was so, the impact on me as I was reading it, Sandy, was so just, I mean, it touched my heart at such a deep level. And it truly was, I felt that it was a gift, you know, that I was receiving. So it was beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And yes, and on your website you talk about, I want you to feel at home here. And that's what we want to feel for our audience. I think definitely we feel at home when you talk. You can hear the authenticity of your story, of your life, and the love that comes from you and the understanding. And I want to say thank you for adding to that, this grief that we all feel sometimes that we just can't get through, and you know, to know that we can get through this.
And I know it's my mission to help death differently, because I used to be so afraid of death, and now I look at death so differently because of all the years of connecting with spirit and receiving messages and receiving that wisdom, that death is just the end of this physical body. It's not the end of their energy.
You bet.
Now, Brian, I want to move on to Brian a little bit here. Brian, it was interesting reading your story about your wife. And now, your story comes to us as journal entries.
Right. I love, by the way, Brian, I really love that. And it was, you know, and as we're doing the Unwavering Strength series here and interviewing, I mean, I have a lot of tears when I read the stories, but for whatever reason, having it be like that journal, it was just stunning for me. It was just so impactful, and I think I cried harder because of that. Don't know, but is that the journal that you kept while you were going through what your wife had an aneurysm? And,
Right. Raquel had an aneurysm that ruptured last September 13th, and she went into what they call a minimally conscious state, and unfortunately, you know, never was able to get out of that. But the journal entries were actually, instead of, I think when people think of journal, they think of, you know, a written format. Mine was one that I had a little tape recorder on that I would keep talking to it maybe once or twice during the week. And typically that happened on the ride home at night from the hospital. She stayed at Tufts Medical Center in Boston. And when I was driving home at night, when I wasn't staying with her, when another family member could be with her, on the way home from the hospital, it was about a 40-minute ride, I would just kind of turn on that tape recorder and just kind of talk about what had happened over the coming or the prior last couple, 3, 4, 5 days. And that really became my lifeline. It was very cathartic for me to do. And in hindsight, it was just a fantastic way to really mark what had happened through her seventh-month journey. And so that's really how our little snippet of the book came to be, really utilizing those journal entries, if you will, to kind of give everybody a little insight into our seventh-month journey.
You do a great. I mean, it was people who know, who go through this period of not knowing what to do in a crisis situation and dealing with someone who is in that state and not know what the future will hold, and I'm sure every day felt like it could be the last, and yet not knowing when that would be. you really put to words how to move through it and the emotions that you have on it. It's still kind of hard for me to talk about it.
I do.
Sorry, I apologize.
Yeah, but you know why? Because it's so raw, and what comes through your words is, I mean, just how much, you know, love that was there. And, you know, it just, it's raw, and you're right, Julie, we can't, it's hard to talk right now.
Right.
So.
And so, but I want to say this, Brian, you're also a motivational, or not a speaker, and you, was this the turning point that said, hey, I need to share this with people? And especially being a man, I think men have a tendency to say, I'm going to just be strong and grit through this, and then on the other end of this, I'm going to take care of everybody else, take care of my two sons, and I'll deal with the feelings later. Did you feel that way, or were you able to just let it all go out, let all the emotions come to you?
Yeah, I think I was very blessed and fortunate. Had such a great support team around me, Rack's family, my family, friends. So that really allowed me to open up and be emotional, which actually, in hindsight, was life-saving, because I think for 7 months going through a life-and-death scenario, literally on a daily basis, you need to do that. I think it's very important to not keep that stuff in. It's very healthy and cathartic to let it out. So I was very blessed. Our families were fantastic. Our friends were fantastic. And I also had used, we have a Team Roxy Facebook page that I also used as a daily journal, if you will, to just keep family, friends up to speed on what was going on a daily basis. So it was very, very helpful. And you're right, as a guy, you kind of have that staunch, I need to be tough and strong, which,
right. You
know, I was, but at times, you know, I could let myself go to those family and friends and on the ride homes at night and in the hospital rooms at night, you know, you kind of let yourself go and you try and be as strong as you can for your family, but at the same time, you have to pick your spots to let those emotions out, because it would eat you up if you do, you know, let that happen.
Absolutely.
You know, what advice could you give to the other family members that are seeing, you know, a brother or a sister going through this, or a son going through this, and how can, you know, how is it best to support the person that's going through this directly? I mean, your extended family is going through this, but it's not touching the exact same way it's touching you and your sons. So how can they support you more, or what did you learn during that time?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, and it's kind of a dichotomy, because even though I was, again, so fortunate to have so many family and friends supporting, but at the same time, you're still doing that walk by yourself. So you're kind of surrounded by all this love and support, but again, it's your walk to walk. And what I came to learn that really helped me out was that everybody has a soul journey, and I really came to accept that and understand that. And, you know, grasp that this was Raquel's soul journey, and this is, everybody has their purpose in life. And, you know, at first I believed that she would get home. I mean, my belief was so strong in the beginning that my wife will get home, you know, to her boys and to her husband and to her family. And that belief that she would come home really transitioned over time to, I really believe that there's a purpose for this journey. About halfway through the 7 month time frame, it was about a week and a half before Christmas, the experts at Spalding sat me down. They just sat with me and they just said that this is as good as it's going to get. And so the last really 3 or 4 months of her physical life was me transitioning from believing that she'd get home to, I believe that there's a purpose for us going through this journey. I knew that it would eventually end, which it did at hospice on April 2nd. Mm-hmm. But I think for people listening and reading the story, I think there's two things that are very important. One is, you know, for the support of family and friends, just people there to listen to you, support you in any way possible. And then you as an individual have to find purpose, and you have to believe that there's a higher purpose to what you're going through. You have to be able to have that, you know, 30,000-foot view, if you will, of your situation, and you need to realize that there is a greater purpose that you're going through this, and you just have to find it. And that was tremendous comfort to me, and that's what really helped get me through.
Mm-hmm. How are your boys today?
They're getting there. Our oldest is 25. Our youngest is 19. Mm-hmm. They're getting there. It's a long process, I think, especially for them. I think for me, I've come along much quicker than they have. And I think it's obviously an age thing and a higher level of understanding. But they're getting there. Here we are. It's a year out since we, you know, the boys and I consider we lost her when she had the aneurysm and she lost consciousness because we didn't have her home every day. So for us, it's been just over a year. But they're getting there again. Just tremendous support from family and friends, and just sharing my belief that there was a purpose that Mom went through this, guys, and we have to believe that, and we have to take a hard look at the lessons that we've learned over the last year. So that's been very helpful.
Yeah. Well, in your story, when you described Rocky's last moments, one of your sons was, I think, had his hand on her heart.
Yeah, that was very touching. You know, they say that the people choose who they want to be with when they pass, and it was her boys, myself, and my oldest son's girlfriend Kimmy, who Raquel loved tremendously, and Cody put his hand on her heart. And he called out her last heartbeat.
I know. It was just so touching.
Well, and I want to say that there seems, from taking away from Sandy's story as well as Brian's story, this understanding that you go from not believing or believing you're going to be okay, I can believe this,
right,
you know, our love is going to come through, to believing that there's a purpose in all this. And figuring out the purpose. And that is almost our duty to our loved ones who have passed on, to say, you got to find this purpose, because that's when is that when the healing can start, or is that during the middle of the journey, or, Sandy, what do you think? Where does that all come to be when you really can say there was a purpose to this?
I think it's different for everybody, because I think the way, and I've been working with people going through grief now for 20 years, but, I don't know that there's a set timetable, or you have to go through this first and then you find your purpose. I find a lot of times people don't find the purpose until they move through the pain. Because I've worked with many clients who, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years after a loss are still in a tremendous amount of pain, and there's no way that they could find that purpose. There's no way. I think you have to be present with the pain first, heal the pain, and then when you're able to access a deeper meaning and a deeper purpose, that's when it will come.
In general, I know that because you are, can I just call you a medium? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good. In general, those who have passed over, what would you say they have, what's their most common comment to us down here?
Oh my goodness, that we should not worry about anything. We shouldn't worry in fear. I remember this one gentleman in spirit said, the reason why we tell you not to worry is not because we know what the divine plan is, but because we know that there is a divine plan. They talk about that all the time, that the worry and the guilt and the fear that we do is such wasted emotion.
Right.
Even though it feels like it can be such a big part of our journey here. The other thing they talk about a lot, too, is how the moment you have the awareness of your soul, all pain goes away.
Mm.
And that happens quickly when someone passes. The way they describe death, they've actually given me an acronym for it, and it's DEATH, to them, stands for Divine Expansion and Total Healing. And to me, that's what happens when you drop the physical body and you are in full awareness of your spirit or your soul. You are in full expansion, and you are aware of your divine essence. And that, to me, is where healing happens for all of us, whether we have a body or we don't.
It really sounds like that acronym, there's this wholeness that happens. There's peace, right? That's what you sense, too, as well.
not only peace, but wholeness and purity. And that exists with, I believe, that exists with every single one of us on a soul level. Mm-hmm. It's just if we're not connected to our soul, we're going to feel emotional pain. We'll feel physical pain. I've worked with clients in my office where, you know, they could have been in either tremendous emotional pain or physical pain, but the moment I help them connect with the essence of their own soul, forget about their loved one and spirit, their own soul, pain goes away.
Yes.
Mm. Because nothing happens to our soul. Stuff happens to the body. Stuff happens to the mind. But when that gets dropped, when you make the transition called death, when all that gets dropped, what you are truly left with is this divine expansion. It's peace. It's God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're left with.
Mm. That's, I love it. Thank you so much for that. I'm sure that's going to comfort a lot of people out there.
Yes, and I just want to bring everybody's attention to Sandy Alemian's website. It's, her last name is Alemian. Go to her website.com. And if you're needing help during this process, connecting with your soul, and if you're not knowing, but you're feeling, if you're feeling
mm-hmm.
physical pain,
yeah.
that's a symptom as well. Sandy, you're so right when you say when you connect with your soul, the physical pains can release as well. I've had that happen in my own life, and so you're so right. So, mm-hmm. If you're in pain, please check Sandy's website out.
I totally agree because I think what you bring that extra something to the therapeutic process that I think, you know, most people can truly, you know, benefit from.
Thank you. You know, there's an old saying that says time heals all wounds, and I don't believe that. I don't think it's time that helps us to heal. It can, because it can give us some understanding, but I truly believe that truth heals.
Oh,
truth
yeah.
and love heals,
you
period.
Bet.
And so, you know, when someone is stuck in their pain, when they've gone through loss, what I try to help them to understand are what are the thoughts that are keeping you in your pain? And a lot of times it's things like, well, they were too young when they died, or this shouldn't have happened, or God took them. And those are all painful thoughts that will keep them in pain.
Right.
And that's when I help them to find a different truth. And once they find that truth, their pain is gone.
That's beautiful. I really thank you for leaving the audience with that.
You're welcome.
And that's a deeper and higher truth.
And we're going to probably just go a couple minutes over. So if our audience has to leave, you can always go to our recording at bbsradio.com/ Life with the Girlfriends. And we're going to, if you guys don't mind, Sandy and Brian, if you can just stay on with us for another 5 or 6 minutes, and we'll kind of talk a little bit more and conclude this the right way. Are you open for that?
Absolutely.
Yes, we are.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you, Engineer, for letting us go just a little bit longer. I got his permission, that's hopefully. So I want to talk about the story of you two together. Can you share a little bit about that?
Brian, you want to start? Okay, well, I'll start. We love telling this story, but it was last summer. So I've been divorced for 12 years and have dated off and on and have been in, you know, different relationships. But last November, I was coming back on an airplane from Asheville, North Carolina, and I said to God, okay, I'm surrendering this relationship part of my life to you because it hasn't been working. I've met some nice people, but here is what I want in a relationship. And then I wrote a letter to my love. And that's how I titled it, To My Love. And I wrote a letter to this man. I didn't know who he was. I just wrote a letter to him, and I said, this is what we're going to feel when we're together. This is what it's going to be like. We're going to understand each other. We're going to have had these deep connections. We're going to laugh together. We're going to play together. We're going to work together. And I'm so grateful for you. And I went on and on and on, and I said, and I can't wait to meet you. I don't know where you are, but I know I already love you from my soul. And when I got home, I just sort of tucked the letters away. So, Brian, tell him how you started about the emails.
Yeah, so from my hand of the story, if you will, I had, for 7 months, I had been going through Raquel's emails, just keeping things neat and tidy, and there was this one continual email that kept showing up every day, and I kept deleting it, and finally, it was this past April, after Raquel had passed, I had opened up this one email, and it was from a local business, if you will, that would have different speakers come in, mediums, if you will. And I just happened to open this one up. Something said to open it up, and when I did, it was an event that they were having Sandy at. So I said to myself, okay, I should say, I said to Raquel, I said, you obviously want me to go and to connect with you, and this is the way that I'm going to do it, is through Sandy. So mm-hmm. 7 months of deleting all these emails, and the one that I finally chose to open happened to be for Sandy's event. And that's how we first came to get to know each other.
So he showed up that night at the event, and I don't have many men that come to my Messages from Heaven events, but he happened to be one that night, and it was kind of a small group. And I remember looking at him thinking, wow, he's really handsome, but I have work to do, it, you know. So Raquel came through, and it was obvious the love that they had for each other, and it was beautiful. And he thanked me afterwards, and then he set up a private session the following week. And I had just ended a relationship, and again, I surrendered the whole thing to God, and I said, I'm willing to be alone for as long as I need to be. Here's what I'm looking for. Here's what I really want in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So 4 days later, Brian came into my office for a private session, and now I get to back up. So in between, he'd written some really nice things on Facebook about, you know, the reading that I had done for him at that event, and the interesting thing was, we both have sons named Austin who are 19 years old.
Oh,
and
really?
One of Raquel's nicknames is Roxy, and that's my mother's name.
Mm.
So I thought, wow. And yeah, kind of interesting coincidences.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Brian came for his private session. Now I'm starting to sweat in my office because I'm thinking, oh my God, he's so handsome. I'm praying to God, please don't let me have any sweat stains on my back when I get out of this. But, and I had no idea where his mind or his heart was. But anyway, one of the things she was bringing through, she was talking about the kids, and she kept mentioning popcorn. And I said, you know, do you have an understanding about popcorn? Do you want to?
Yeah, and that just took me by surprise because Raquel loved popcorn. I mean, that was one of her favorite little snacks in the entire world. So I said, yeah. I said, Raquel would eat whether it's her own popcorn that she'd make on the stove or smart food or what have you. She would love to just munch on popcorn.
So I said to Brian, well, what she's showing me is she doesn't want you to go. She knows you're not going to be alone. She doesn't want you to go shallow. She says, be careful of girls at the gym because they're going to be all over you. But if you go shallow, she said, she wants you to pick from your heart and your soul, because if you go shallow, it would be like eating popcorn before the meal comes and you get filled up on the popcorn and you won't be hungry for the meal. So that was it. You know, a lot of other things came through that he confirmed. It was a beautiful session. Hug goodbye. He said, you know what, please bring your boys in. I would love to help your boys make a connection with her. So a couple hours later, I really wasn't thinking anything else about him, but a couple hours later I was with my girlfriend and we were at a local restaurant pub and we're having a drink at the bar and the waitress brings over a bowl of popcorn.
Oh,
and something inside of me said, take a picture and eat and text it to him. And I'm fighting with that voice inside of me because I'm like, that is so unprofessional. I can't do that. He did. He took a picture of the popcorn and I texted it over to Brian and I said, this just reminded me of you. I hope it doesn't fill me up before the meal, thinking, I'm like, oh my God, I want to die. What if he doesn't respond? Anyway, I got an immediate response back, and then we texted a little bit, and the next text was, do you want some company? So he met my girlfriend and I, and we just had this amazing connection. And on day four, after Brian and I spent that time together that night, on day four, he asked me out to dinner, and I was cleaning out my home office that day, and I found the two letters that I had written in November. And I looked at the letter that I had written to God and the letter that I had written to my love, and I was reading, and I was like, holy crap, I was writing about Brian. Everything that I had written in that letter were things that he and I had already talked about how at home we felt with each other and how we just get each other's humor, and we just we're in the same mindset. And I had actually even asked God, please, I want to be with someone who's been through
a deep challenge or, you know, a life-changing event, because I knew they would have the kind of depth that I would be looking for. And so I brought them to dinner with me that night, and I read them to him, and we both had tears. And that was the night that I knew I was in love with them.
Mm-hmm. It is such an incredibly just awesome, charming, loving story. And you got so much validation.
That's what I love about this story.
You know?
What I hear in all of this is this idea of the depth and the love and the fun that came in this relationship, that's coming in this relationship and so forth, and pretty awesome, and the validation. And I guess, Sandy, you really felt that you felt like you got the, like it was all okay mode.
Oh.
We've had so many, she talks to me often, and I've heard their son Cody has come in, and I've helped Cody connect with Raquel, and Raquel has told Cody directly, this is about our soul families coming, like his soul, his family, our family. It's about our soul families coming back together again. And Cody knows that we've all been in past lives. It's like, it's an amazing connection with his boys that I have.
Yeah, I don't know, but there's, you guys got a book in here somewhere.
Oh. Yeah,
or yes, and then a movie that comes in.
Yeah, the movie. Yes.
The person does a notebook. Yes, definitely.
Us to have our story be a movie. It's amazing because there's so many other things that have happened.
And I can imagine.
Yeah, it's so cool.
I'll be the first one to buy it when it comes out.
Well, I want to say thank you, both of you, for being on Life with the Girlfriends tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you for
your
being
separate
so,
story and your story together.
It's awesome, and thank you for being just so honest and authentic and laying your hearts out there, and you guys got a pair of beautiful hearts for sure.
Thank you so
Thanks
so much for having us.
Welcome.
Have a great, great night. And everybody out there, if you're still listening to this live or on the recording, okay, as soon as September 30th comes, you can go to unwaveringstrength.com, unwaveringstrength.com. You can get the book, and they're going to be giving away lots of gifts with the book. It's going to be a fun launch. We want everybody to purchase this book. It's filled with a lot of unwavering strength. And every weekend, every Sunday night, I interview these authors, and I feel so much stronger.
I know.
The human condition.
The grace that comes upon it is
amazing.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel weak, and then I go, wait a minute. No, we all have this unwavering strength in us. And just from tonight, hearing these authors talk about their stories and their unwavering strength, and Mom, I'm sure you've heard it as well, it is the depth of, the depth that occurs afterwards.
You bet. I know, girlfriend.
It's amazing.
I know.
It's priceless.
I know.
and really, it's all about love.
It is.
And how love continues, even through the crisis, even through the grief.
And about the soul's journey.
Exactly. Mm. So just wanted to say thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. Thank you for letting us go a little bit over.
And the book comes out September 30th.
Yes, and you can go to our website, bbsradio.com/Life with the Girlfriends, for this recording to hear all these authors. And thank you guys all so much. Have a great, great night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It was great. It was great. We'll be right back.